Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, October 16th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight and an honor to be here. And we're certainly honored for everyone who chooses to join us, every day that you choose to join us in this process of understanding and integrating the ancient first century technology on the Aramaic forgiveness.
You're not real clear, Michael. I don't know if you need to go to another part of the house, but you're very faded.
Okay, well, we'll see what I can do. You want to maybe just go ahead and tell folks where we are and what's happening?
Okay, so welcome to the show. And what we are about, our website is www.whyagain, that's whyagain.org, and it's on Aramaic forgiveness, and that is not letting another person off the hook, as we have learned in this culture, is forgiveness, but it's about going inside and removing what doesn't belong in us. Now you say, what doesn't belong in us? Well, we start off our workshops and we always ask if anybody has ever held a newborn baby. And for those of you who have never had a newborn baby, think of a kitten or a puppy or something that's in that innocent, precious little stage where it's a miracle and it's awesome and it's pure. And tap into it. That's the essence of what we are. And so anything less than that, anger, fear, hostility, guilt, shame, pain, doesn't belong in our system. And so forgiveness in the Aramaic is how to go in and remove that so that no matter what happens in our world, we can stand in a connected space. And so that's what we're about. And this show is here Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time to support you in doing that. We are currently in, what town are we in? Grand Rapids. We go from town to town so much I don't even know where I am. So we're in Grand Rapids tonight and tomorrow night we finish up. And then we head on over Saturday after Mind Shifters. We'll be heading to Lansing and we do a full week of workshops there. Actually, we're doing 8 days in Lansing. And then we have 3 days off and then we start a 9-day intensive. So you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and click on schedules, and then you can click on flyers, and you can download each one of those flyers that gives you the detail of what we're doing each night. So it sounds like you're back with us, Michael.
Yeah, let's see how we're sounding now. Is that better?
A little bit.
Still not there?
So it's better than it was.
Sound any better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Well, as Jeannie explained, our work together is that of first century Aramaic forgiveness and returning to that pure state of being that we were designed to live in. There's an interesting piece of information that comes out of the communist philosophy that says, according to Vladimir Lenin, the way to destroy a culture is to change the meaning of its words. And we live in a culture where meanings of so many words have been changed that we, the confusion, the vocabulary, the confusion of it, legend. And in particular, this word love has become so turned around backward, inside out, upside down, that most people, when they talk about loving, think they're talking about something with to do with sexuality. They think they're talking about something they do to somebody else or that somebody else does to them. They think they're talking about self-sacrifice. There's just a whole myriad of ideas that are totally in error. And when you recognize that love is what you are, then you recognize that another can't love you into experiencing who you are, and you can't love yourself into experiencing who you are. It's not a verb. It's not something we do. State of being that when we can share that state of being with each other, we get to live in a different world. And so in the first century Aramaic language, we were told that there was a condition in the mind that if we kept it active, that we would fulfill what was called the first law and we would experience love as our essence, as our creative state of being. So it's something that you are, it's not something that you do. And the reason why Lenin was so accurate when he said change the meaning of words and you can destroy a culture is because words are the way that humans form goals. And goals are the drivers for human behavior. If our words are off, our goals are off. If our goals are off, then our behaviors are off. And the whole world is in such confusion that it's monumental. And so what we're looking to do is to move through and out the other side of that confusion. And instead of setting goals with mistaken words, which means the goals can never be accomplished, which means that people are always in error, and with not achieving goals, there's failure, there's frustration, there's rage, there's guilt, there's pain, and ultimately, people who experience those things find someone to project it on, someone to blame for it. And in one case, they turn that rage and their unsuccessful lives toward the creator and turn that into rejection or hate. And until we can get our words straight, we can't get our goals straight. You know, if your goal is to love your spouse, then you've made a mistake. You want to make the goal to be love in relationship to your spouse. Now you've got a goal you can achieve. You know, go back all the way to the book of James in the first century, and you hear James saying, you don't get what you want because you do not ask rightly. The words are off base. And so people are using words that whose meanings are off base and don't get to experience themselves as the active presence of love. One, go out looking for love in all the wrong places, and two, settle for stuff, for sensation. And if stuff and sensation isn't enough, then they'll drug themselves. And they won't go near the part of their minds that needs to be healed in doing so. And once you start straightening out the meanings of your words, forgiveness is about changing the content, removing content from your mind. Human life is the active presence of love. The Creator is the active presence of love. And as we straighten those things out, then we can start to frame and set goals that are actually on track and on purpose, and we'll experience a whole different life, a whole different game. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring into the world. And we appreciate everybody who chooses to join us each day. And so, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and he's on.
Well, let's say hello and see how the young man be.
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And wherever you are now, Michael, you should stand right there and not move, because for a while there, your every third word was dropping out, but your last few paragraphs were right on, so nice solid signal.
Well, I'll stay right where I am. I won't move a muscle.
I was pleased to see yet another article. I think it was in Discover Science that came out in, I think, 2013, that was validating the epigenetics, which means the recognition that something outside of our genetic code was actually deciding what gets turned on and turned off. And they were saying that your grandmother's experiences may have more to do with who you are and how you turn out than the traditional nature versus nurture debate. And one of the comments that was posted, I think this was posted on Facebook, and one of the comments that was posted said, you know, these people are still missing the point. Because in the article, the scientists are looking for what is the chemical, what is the molecule, what is the physical switch that tells the DNA how to manifest itself. And now they're looking at methyl molecules or whatever as the thing that's making the decision about which gene gets to express or which chromosome is activated, et cetera. And the comment from the person on Facebook that was so poignant was, could have been written by Dr. Michael Rice, and it said, they're still looking for a physical cause. They're not acknowledging the role of consciousness and the energy field around these physical structures, which is carrying the energy and the memory of what the grandparents did. And that's having the impact on which genetics get expressed or suppressed. So, to my mind, it was fascinating from two ends. One is more scientific validation that what they used to put out there as fact, science fact, was really only speculation, and now they're demonstrating with their own tools that it doesn't work that way. And at the next level, they're not willing to go beyond where their physical observations can't take them. So they're stuck within the loop of thinking this is all a physical body, this has to be determined by chemicals, it has to be determined by molecules, it has to be determined by either what nature provided in a physical sense or what the nurturing experiences were in the person's life, and that's as far as they'll let themselves go. So they're still stuck, even though at the same time they're stuck, they're having scientific evidence that validates the very kind of thing that the ancient scriptures were telling people when it said, the sins of the father and the successes and positive traits as well will be passed on to 3 and 4 generations. So there's more scientific validation for the fact that that's happening. At the same time, there's a refusal to look outside the physical realm into the energetic or consciousness realm. So that was the big thing that came across my desk between yesterday's call and today that I wanted to mention. And I will look up that reference and email it to Jeannie, so if she wanted to post that article, she can.
Great. You know, you bring to mind the research we've been talking about with the mice that were shocked so that they had a fear of the smell of a cherry blossom, and the future generations of those mice had changes in their physiology, in their brains, and in their genes. And one of the researchers, top researcher out of the UK, says, yes, we have to do more mechanistic studies. Like, we're still studying a machine here. There's nothing beyond the machine. And they're stuck in, what, 17th century philosophy. And, of course, whatever we set our goals, whatever words we use to set our goals, that's going to limit the way our mind can see what it can see. And it's time for us to wake up and go beyond it. But it's an interesting challenge to get that mind to awaken to something different. So, Jeannie, our call-in number, of course, is 646-200-4169. Is there anybody in the chat room with a comment or a question for us, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up? If you are in the phone queue and you question for us, you push one and put your hand up.
Chat room's quiet, but we do have a hand up. It's area code 910. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. This is Susan Darnell.
Welcome, young lady, and congratulations on your Laws of Living class.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm enjoying it. It's really great. I've got a moment today where I can call in, and I had a few questions about the evaluation, if you're up for that.
Let's go for it.
Okay. Something that I'm concerned, I just want to know more about is when you have love of others, that's like your high score, and love of self is the lowest, with love of truth being lower than self. Tell me what that does, what that's like. I would think that
okay, well, let's first of all, so that our other listeners are up with us, let's share a little bit about the personal code evaluation. Personal code evaluation is a set of questions that we give to people when they come and do an intensive. And what it does is it allows us to look at 10 areas of a person's life and tell where their blocks are. You know, in the same way that, you know, we all know that when you look out through your eyes, it looks like you can see everywhere you look, but there's actually a blind spot in each eye. But the brain fills that blind spot in, and when it's filled in, it's impossible to tell that it's there. And in the same way, when we have emotional traumas and turmoils, those things tend to create blind spots. And what the evaluation does is it breaks one's personal code down into 10 areas so we can see where the blind spots are. And that way we can give somebody specific direction on where to go. So let's just kind of do a general look at the loves. There are three of the 10 areas that the evaluation has scales for or measures. One of them is love for self. One of them is love for others. And one of them is love for truth. And those are three of the most important aspects of the evaluation, because depending on how those loves are balanced or imbalanced, the mind skews the way that it sees things. So if we have someone with the profile that you're talking about, they have a low love of truth, medium love of self, high love of others. Am I understanding that correctly?
Self and others, or self and truth is 1-2. Others is a number 7.
Okay. So then what would happen is with the low love of self and a low love of truth and a higher love of others, is that person would tend to block information from awareness about themselves. So, you know, based on the Harvard research that we've looked at, what we know is that the mind gets to show us a very tiny fraction of what's actually going on within us, let alone what's going on outside of us. And that which the mind shows us is impacted by the way these loves are balanced. Ideally, someone who had a balanced love of truth, love of self, love of others would have all information available, if those loves were high, about themselves and others that would be useful to them. But a person who has a lower love of truth than love of self will tend to block information. So if we think in terms of what we'll call, for the sake of our example, the 9-bit mind, there are only 9 slots, so to speak, that allow awareness of information. And when love of truth is low compared to love of self, there's a piece of information that comes along, and the mind will not allow that information to be shown because that person lives in blockage of truth about self. And then when you've got that big a differential between love of self and love of others, so if their score on a scale of 1 to 10, if 2 is their love of self and 3 or their love of others is a 7, that means that the love of self other score is much higher than the love of self score. And so they would tend even more to block information about others than about themselves. So what that means is there'd be information that would be useful for people to have in their perceptual systems, but the mind just won't show it to them. It just won't come in to awareness because of that low love of truth. If we had the reverse situation, let's say that someone has a very high love of truth, but a low love of self and others, we call that the recipe for hell and hell to be with. Because what happens is with that high love of truth, people tend to blow things all out of proportion. The person who has that kind of a profile, you know, the way our culture would talk about the way they would say, well, this is a person who makes a mountain out of a molehill. You know, we've got a problem, and the problem is a, you know, a small size problem. But the person who has a very high love of truth and low love of self would tend to blow this problem all out of proportion. So something that's a small issue now becomes a large issue, a mountain out of a molehill, and they put it right squarely on their shoulders. If they have a low love of others, then they would tend to do the same thing to others. They would blow things out of proportion, make it bigger than it is, and try to set it right square on somebody else's shoulders. So one of the things we aim for is to get those scores all in the high range and all balanced. Does that fit for your question? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's perfect. And I appreciate you going into that detail because I'm doing my best, doing a lot of still point breathing with people, and I just want to make sure that I'm clear on how to coach them to which assignment. Of course, the number one is always the first, but I've yet to see one where the love of others was quite that high. So it was just interesting to see and spend time with this person, which we've become, we went to dinner and to breakfast a couple of times, and it's just interesting for me to see. And of course, her willingness of the group is just amazing. It's just, I mean, I'll have to say, Michael, that first essay on stress was very helpful. Because when I sent him home with the homework, you know, I could see my familiar face the first year I took the Laws of Living. It's quite a bit to do. But after you read the first essay and you realize there are good stresses and there are bad stresses, and you realize that the work we're doing around this, getting our loves equal and seeing the truth is the good stress. And one of the little girls came in that next day, next week, and everybody was kind of looking a little bit, you know, overwhelmed, which I was encouraging worksheets on overwhelm. And she said, hey, this is a good stress. And I was like, that's great. That's so great that they could see that and get that out of that article. So it was a great essay for week one. And, I wanted to ask also, when you say hell to be with and, for someone who has a really high love of truth and a low love of self and others, so do they really have all the truth in their mind about self and others because they have a high love of truth? Because I know when it's a low love of truth, the 9-bit mind is filled with a lie. So when it's a high level with a high love of truth, does that mean they really do know what's the truth? That's my question, too.
No, definitely not. It does not. The imbalance causes the mind to skew things so they're not seeing things accurately. So a high love of truth does not necessarily mean that one sees the truth. That's why we call it the recipe for hell and hell to be with. The truth is, you know, if I have somebody who's at a level 10, you know, on that scale, their love of truth is a 10 and their love of self is a 1, they make things so big and out of proportion, so imbalanced that it skews everything. And no, there is not the activity of truth in the mind because it's so out of balance.
Okay, that's great. That's good to know. Well, I just want to share this about myself. I know this year at the Laws of Living, my love of others and love of self was just like 2 and 3. And love of truth, I think, was number 1. And when I left, my love of others and self was balanced. And when I came back into my world, the difference in the way I saw and took care of myself, just having that small shift was, as you would say, monumental. It was like someone had opened the blinds in a room and I could see that, and I could love myself and do things to take care of myself that before I had neglected myself in that way. So that was amazing. I mean, to have them balanced, I'm sure that's a great place to be, and I look forward to that. There was one more thing. I heard you say that are we going to be able to do the evaluation with people that we work with, like one-on-one coaching and individual practice, when they're not in an intensive? Or are these just evaluations for an intensive? I was just wondering when they're available.
You will be able to work with people with them individually who aren't doing intensives, yes.
Wow. Well, anyone in the listening area that's listening to this, those, to me, the evaluation is so important. It gave me, the first time I went to Heartland and I got that, I knew exactly, like you said, where my blind spots were and where the most important work was for myself and how it played out in my life. And, you know, a lot of times I hear you say, how does that look like your life? Absolutely, that evaluation gives great insight. And that was another thing, a lot of the people, at least three of the people in my class are teachers. And two of them at the college level, and one is a kindergarten first grade teacher for 28 years. And they were really impressed with the ability to take that test and be able to know what their work was. And I'll have to say they were quite surprised, which was, and I had been working with a couple of them for a while and couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what was going on, but I knew there was some kind of imbalance there. And of course, anyway, it just gave me great insight, and I really appreciate the evaluation. Whoever came up with that and worked on that, bravo, and my hat's off to them. And I appreciate all your support from you and Jeannie and supporting me to do this class. I know you kind of wanted me to wait just maybe till you got here. And the energy was such a momentum. It's like I always say, it's like a surfer waiting for a wave. When the wave came, I wanted to jump on the board and go with it. So it seems really positive, and I'm excited. And just when you get a chance to send me session 3, that would be great, and I'll get it printed and get ready to go. I know the sessions from now are getting to be more of more series, and if you have any insight and wisdom, I've got 3 hours a night to go through that, and I, of course, want to do it in a way that's helpful for everyone that's there. And I do have this, I always ask Ruka to help me finish on time and to cover what I need to cover, so I'm open for feedback, and you can do that on or off the show. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you have put 8 people together to do this class with. I think that's absolutely awesome. And you're right that, you know, when you can say, that, well, gee, you know, something's off here, but I don't know just what it is. And, you know, you want to shift the language out of this being a test. A test usually means there's a pass and a fail, and there's no passing and no failure in this evaluation. It simply evaluates the personal code and gives somebody an opportunity to see where the blocks are and to bring themselves back into balance. And that's just huge. And few people realize what the love of truth challenge really means. When somebody does not love truth, they cut themselves off from relationship with the actual presence of love in their lives. And they believe then in the, it's kind of, you know, what Dr. Tim was talking about as he spoke about how these people have these gods called matter. And, you know, they look at a molecule or what they call a molecule, their brain's image of a molecule in their mind, and they think that's life and that's the end all and the be all. And they can't go beyond that because, you know, if you go back to Yeshua, he says, you got to worship in truth. And most people don't give a hoot for truth. We don't care. I have the right answer, and my opinion is you're the problem in my life, and I'm going to puke all over you until you square up. And never knowing, because of their lack of love of truth, they can't have relationship directly with the Creator and therefore can't function truly as human beings. And it's just huge to understand that and start to put that together and then step into a space of willingness of love of truth instead of having to find somebody to puke on, which is what somebody who blocks truth does. You know, over the years at Heartland, the people who consistently have been the most outrageous to deal with, the most difficult to deal with, the people who run away the fastest, and the person who's in block to truth is always leaving. And they're always leaving because they can't stand what life is showing them about themselves. And until love of truth comes forward and we get to see what life is showing us about ourselves, we get to own that and work through it, then the whole game changes. So it's awesome that you're teaching it, and I would love it if every time you have a chance, you've got questions about it, it would be useful. You know, it brings a different slant to the show and helps people to build brain cells in a new way about the whole body of the work. So that's pretty cool.
And I'm encouraging the class to bring questions. If they have a question in class, of course, I answer, and I ask that they call in and just ask a question on the radio show to get your, number one, I say it's so important that we get this on the radio show so that everyone has that answer, and for them to ask themselves, because they may ask it in a different way and you may pick up something that needs to be said. So that's great, too. I'd love that. And that's all for today. I'm going to start jotting them down. I'd love to call every day if I was able to, and I'll call when I can. I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you in a few weeks when we are in North Carolina. So we're going to be, if anybody's in the North Carolina area, of course, Susan's doing an ongoing support group every Tuesday night. And Laws of Living, it's too late to enter that class, but if you're interested in doing the class the next time it comes around, which sounds like it'll probably be January, then you can do that. And you can also look on our website, and you'll see that we're there at Unity in Wilmington, and we'll be doing a full week of workshops, of free workshops when we're there. So thank you for your call. We appreciate you.
Okay, we have two callers. And the first one is area code 916. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Emily. I'm in California, Sacramento, California.
Hey, Emily, welcome. How can we support you?
I just discovered your work just like a week ago. And so I'm very new to the whole thing. I actually found you through Dale Allen Hoffman. And I was trying to work through the worksheets, the new worksheets, and I'm trying to kind of close the gap in my financial situation, how I feel versus what is and what needs to be, I guess. And so I was wondering how to work through that worksheet on a topic as opposed to a person.
Well, there are approaches you can take to that worksheet. If abundance is the issue, you could do a worksheet on money, literally, number 1C being money, number 1A being myself. How do I feel? I feel maybe scared. What's the thought behind my scared? I don't have enough. I'm poor.
Right.
And you know, step by step through that process and then down to what's the goal? I want to have an abundance of money. Then down to, you know, resetting love in your mind, and then down to I cancel my need to have enough money, which seems ridiculous, but what it does is it collapses the mind's output around its current financial circumstances. And as that collapses, you get to see another level, that deeper level of the mind. So that would be one approach. Another approach would be doing a worksheet on yourself. So you start out with your own name, and I feel once again, may be scared. And the thought is, once again, don't have enough money, and the situation is on self. And maybe the goal for self is, if you really start looking at it, might be something like, well, you know, I've never felt good enough to have enough money and to really be able to take care of myself. So the goal in number three would be to feel good enough about myself to deserve wealth. And then go through, set love, cancel that goal, see where that one takes you. So that would be a couple of different approaches to work around money. You could look, let's say, for instance, if you come from a family system where, gee, you know, we were brought up and we hardly had enough food to eat. There was never enough money. There was never, you know, there were always arguments about money and there was always stress and strain around it. And one could do a goal on family and, you know, take the same approach. I put myself in number 1A. I feel, or maybe in this case, it might be sadness. When I think about my family never having had enough and how my parents had to struggle, I could do a worksheet around my parents and put their name in number 1C. And my desire for them to have been abundant and work with that goal. So each of these goals would take you to different parts of the mind. You remember, the mind organizes information in files, so to speak, and where we have hidden destructive content in a file, and that file goes into activity, then the destructive content, because generally speaking, people have hidden away, they've accessed, looked at, hidden away their pain, hidden it away, and therefore put a lot of energy into it. The painful things tend to create results faster than other things. And so to look at, you know, the different files in the mind with any kind of painful content, and as you tap into those deeper levels, you get to clean out those parts of the mind that create the financial circumstance. There's also the tool of mind shifters, and a mind shifter is another tool that we teach, and the way to use it, it's a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts. And the way that the mind shifter tool is used is that you take a piece of paper, divide it in two, and you write the mind shifter on the left-hand side of the page, and then once you've written that, write down anything and everything that your mind has to say about that mind shifter. So you just start writing. And a mind shifter that I love to give to people when they've got financial challenges, if you've got a pen handy, you might want to write this down. Anybody else who might have a challenge with money, this might be a good mind shifter for you, and I'll give you a second to get a pen and paper.
Yeah, I've got it.
So the mind shifter that really is effective for people around money issues is, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Now, as you think that, and you write that down, if you run that idea through your mind and write that down, what's the first thing your mind says back to you? I always earn twice as much as I can spend.
I always earn half as much as I can spend.
There you go. So that's the first thing that goes on the right side of the page.
Okay.
And then what you do is take a time period where your cell phone is off, you're totally quiet, you're in your own space, and, you know, you're isolated from everything, so you're focused totally on writing. Take a time period of at least 2 hours and write that mind shifter. And as you write it, you know, when something comes up in your mind, write it on the right-hand side of the page. You might write it once and write for 20 minutes. You might write it 10 times before anything pops. But whatever it is, write it and then just allow whatever comes up in response to it to surface. The mind works by resonance, and when you've got the right mind shifter, what it does is it causes what's hidden and what's been locked down to come to awareness. It amplifies the content of those brain cells. And so what you want to do basically is just do a brain dump. Just put everything about that issue on the page. And then you can look at, you know, where the challenges are and where there's more work to be done. So one young man that I gave that mind shifter to, he started writing, and what he came up with is, you know, he gets into, you've got to be kidding, you're crazy, I've never had enough money, you know, my family's always been poor, that's ridiculous, I've never had enough money, and I write it again. I can't even pay my car payment this month. They're talking about repossessing my car, and they shut my phone off last month. That's ridiculous. I never have enough money. That's crazy. Write it again. Oh, I can remember when I was a kid, and you know, my mom and dad were always fighting about money. I always earned twice as much as I can spend. Boy, that's ridiculous. You know, I can remember that. The last time I saw my father, he and my mom had a big fight about money. He stormed out of the house and never came back. Boom, big, major core issue that, you know, maybe this kid hasn't thought about since he was six when that happened. And so you take the areas where there's a lot of energy, and that's where you do the worksheet process, bouncing off of the results that come with the mind shift. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I will do that because I feel like I've been working through those things, and it is actually shifting. Like even my situation is shifting, but when I'm looking at, you know, it hasn't shifted completely yet, and so I'm continuously going over and feeling those same negative thoughts. So I just need to get in the habit of dealing with those thoughts when they arise.
The key in the whole process is to apply forgiveness to those thoughts. You know, forgiveness is not about letting other people off the hook because your mind is working a certain way. Forgiveness is about removing from your mind whatever your mind is focused in, if it's not serving you. And so that's where the forgiveness process comes in. So wherever you see yourself with untoward thoughts towards self, money, towards abundance, or having things, you know, maybe it's, if I have things, then I'm guilty because other people don't have enough. And so that would be a worksheet on guilt around money. And so as you do that, you'll begin to go through and clean up every, so to speak, file in your mind until it's clean. And once it's clean, you are designed as a creator. You'll simply start to create abundance. It'll just shift. I mean, it'll just shift you. One day, it'll just turn, and you'll never look back again. That issue will be handled in your world.
Yay!
You're ready for that, are you?
I'm ready, yes, yes. Well, it's been really fun because several other things have already just one day made that transition. And, yeah, it's a much better place to be.
An awesome process when you engage in it and move life forward, handling and removing the generational impact of all those things that hold us back, whether it's in the arena of health or aliveness, joy, creativity, purpose, finances, relationship. As you clean up each area, it's just amazing to watch how it systematically and reliably moves forward. You know, it's a recipe for changing the game, for sure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call. And keep us posted on how it goes. And any other challenges, please call in and ask a question. We're delighted to be here to support you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
You say
caller,
you had another hand?
Yes. I think that it might be St. Louis. It's 314 area code. You're on the air.
Yes, I am in St. Louis. Hi.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How can we support you?
Hi, it's Darlene. Well, I got into the show kind of late, and I wanted to know more about the tool that you guys were first talking about. I didn't hear it identified, and if it's on the website where I guess there's a measurement of some sort for true love of self, love of others.
Okay, this is a personal code evaluation that is a tool
okay.
that we use in our work for showing people where the blocks are in their minds. So that's something that we use through art.
Okay, and where do you have access to this? Is it in the on the website, or is this when you go to a workshop? Or
well, actually, we've just recently got the evaluation set up so that it's online. And the online evaluation is something that we haven't made available yet other than the teachers, but we're getting ready to put it online so that anyone could come to our website and buy a summary evaluation and have the support in understanding what it means in the future. So if you're interested in that, maybe what you could do is drop an email to Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org.
Okay.
And let her know what you're interested in as we get it organized, which we're in the process of organizing and kind of working out the bugs with it now. Then we'll get back to you and tell you how do the evaluation.
Okay. And it was Jeannie at whyagain.org?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That will do it.
I do have another question if I still have a moment with you.
Go for it, please. Yeah.
Okay. So I have been working on the worksheet for a little over a month now. And
right.
I've just filtered through a lot of, I would say, pretty deep issues and things. But what kind of catches me off guard is if there's, what I'm having difficulty with is if there's a conflict, like I'm having trouble choosing, I don't know, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but between maybe two things that are powerfully important to me. Do you have any suggestions on how, like, just to resolve, like, a conflict like that?
Yes, I do. If you go to the website, which is whyagain.org,
right,
you'll see a bullseye there. If you click on the bullseye,
okay,
the bullseye will take you into a series of links. The first links are links around the worksheet, radio shows that where we've worked with the worksheet with people. And then as you go down the list, further down the list, you'll see a worksheet that says Purpose Worksheet. And I'd suggest you download that. It's pretty intuitive to work with. And or if you have questions, you're certainly welcome to just go in and print it off and call us and ask the questions. But basically, one of the reasons why people have difficulty settling, you know, what direction their energy needs to go in is because their minds have been split in a culture that splits them up in different directions. For instance, if I know that I'm here to do a certain work, like personally, I can remember there was a still point breathing session that I did way back about 45 years ago. And in that session, I had the full recall of being just a couple of months of age and knowing exactly why I was here. I had that full recall of that memory. And then I grew up in a world where, you know, we were taught that the game is about go make money and, you know, all the stuff that the culture teaches. And so when you see that the mind is going in two directions, oh, I'm here, I'm supposed to be making money, or I'm here because I have a purpose, then if I don't know what my purpose is, it's hard for me to do things on purpose, and my mind will tend to be confused. The things that are on purpose are attractive to me. I want to go there, but the culture has brainwashed me into setting goals where the purpose of life is to make money. And so, you know, how many people, I think the essence of what the world has called midlife crisis is people who have not done their purpose and along about, you know, 40, 50 years of age, all of a sudden they start going, what the heck am I doing here? I've got all this money, I've got all this stuff, but it's not satisfying and it certainly isn't my purpose. And so as you do the purpose exercise, and it's pretty intuitive to do. Again, you're certainly welcome to download and ask questions about it. We'll be delighted to support you through it. as you get crisp and clear on your purpose, then your purpose points in the direction of where you want to go with everything you want to do, and it just becomes much clearer and much simpler to really set all of your goals on purpose, and that becomes a standard. If this is my purpose, does this behavior that I'm looking at doing support my purpose? If it doesn't, thanks, I don't do it. And what I find is, and I say this from my own experience, once I got clear on my purpose, there were things that I enjoyed doing that I just stopped doing because they didn't support my purpose. And there were things that I didn't like to do that did support my purpose, and I do them because they were in alignment with my purpose. And so when you start doing everything on purpose, that's one of the ways of aligning your energy field for personal power, so that you're really, truly tapped into the source of your energy and you bring it through every fiber of your aligned in its expression. You know, if you imagine a TV antenna, let's say we're sitting in the front room and we're watching Channel 3 and the picture's kind of snowy and weak and flip-flopping and there's all kinds of noise in the sound and you can hardly hear it. You aren't going to go up on the roof and say, antenna, struggle harder to make sure you bring in a good signal. Because an antenna isn't going to bring through a better signal by struggling, and a human isn't going to bring through a better performance by struggling. What are you going to do with the antenna? You're going to align it. When you bring the antenna into alignment, you know, I don't know whether you might remember the old time TV antennas on the roof of the house, and oftentimes there was a literal, I can remember in the early days, it was an actual crank that was attached to the antenna, and you would crank the antenna to turn it. And so, you know, when I grew up, when we were kids, we got Channel 4, Channel 2, and Channel 7, and each station, the antenna had to be set in a different place. So if we were watching Channel 4, we got a good, clear picture, and we want to change to Channel 7, you flip the tuner over to 7, and then you have to crank the antenna until the antenna turns and comes into alignment with Channel 7, bang, all of a sudden you got a good picture. And now Channel 2 is gone. So in the same way, when we align, and in fact, the word in Aramaic that's been translated as soul, that represents who we are, can be properly translated a tuning mechanism. And so as you tune into your purpose and you start to do everything on purpose, then, like the television antenna, there's more of an energy flow through you, and that energy flow through you is called personal power. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So that works. I think you'll find helpful, and if you want more of an explanation, we actually have a two-hour DVD that you can go to the website and order and listen to that whole workshop on DVD.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael.
Cool. All right, awesome, blessings. Thanks for the call. Well, we're down to about 3 minutes. Jeannie, anybody else with a hand up?
No, nobody else has a hand up right now, but just also to let Darlene know to keep an eye, we're talking about possibly coming back to St. Louis in July maybe before we start our summer intensives at Heartland and doing a full week series there. So you might want to just keep an eye on that, and instead of just catching a one-day event, you might be able to get a full week.
Gotcha. That sounds great. Thank you.
Cool. You're welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
so we have about...
saying that tonight and tomorrow night, we'll be doing two more free workshops at Unity in Grand Rapids, and actually in the town of Ada. There are two of them here, so it's in the town of Ada. And then on Saturday, if anyone wants to join us, we'll be doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. That'll start about 8 o'clock in the morning and go through till sometime between 5 and 6 in the evening. And as we wind the week up here, we'll complete here on Saturday evening, and then we'll head to Lansing, Michigan. And Sunday morning, we'll be doing the service at Renaissance Unity. And on Sunday afternoon, doing the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, pre-open workshop. And Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be doing a full series of of free workshops. You can pick the flyer up off of the website. And then on Saturday, once again, we'll do Mind Shifters and Stuff for Dreams in Lansing. And then on Sunday, we'll be doing another Sunday service at the Second Unity Church, which is Unity of Greater Lansing. And Sunday afternoon, we'll be doing the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop again. So you'll be welcome to come and join us for all of those events. And then we'll actually have a couple of days off, and we'll be heading to Pinckney, Michigan. Pinckney's a small town. There's a community there that we'll be heading to, and we've rented the beautiful colonial, big, huge colonial-style house that is their community center, and we'll be doing a residential 9-day codependency intensive, and start on Friday evening, the 31st of October, and go through the following Saturday morning, the 8th of November. And in that workshop, it'll be residential, so people actually come and live there. We'll have awesome gourmet vegetarian food, fresh and raw vegetarian food, the most amazing and awesome food you can imagine. Even meat eaters, when they come to an intensive, say, oh, my God, if I could eat like this all the time, I'm so full, I'm so satisfied. I thought we were only going to eat lettuce. We do all kinds of amazing things, spaghetti and meatballs. We do veggie burgers. We do portobello burgers. I mean, we just do all sorts of different things, all kinds of different ideas that you'd never really think of. And actually, we just had the Rossi's book reprinted, so you can go to our website in the product section, and you can order the recipes book on our website, and we'll get it mailed off to you. And there are the 25-year accumulation of the favorite recipes that we've had at Heartland over the decades. And in that 9 days, we'll do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop in a process format. You know, when we do the shorter workshops when we travel, information oriented, we'll give you the best information we've got, suggest you take the tools, put them to work in your life. In the intensive, we'll do a process format where we'll present the information, and then we'll go to work with the tools and give you personal support with personal direction on how to use the tools. And so we'll do the Why workshop, and then do relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, and codependence to interdependence. And as well, we'll do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And so it'll be 9 days of really, really powerful inner work. And so anybody who wants to join us, we'd be delighted to have you come. You can look at our website, whyagain.org, and look under schedules and download the flyers for all of those events. And beyond that, we'll be in Bristol, Tennessee following that, and then on to Wilmington and on to Florida. So keep an eye on our schedule. Invite a stranger to come and be with you, and give the world the best gift you could possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.